Amen.
So having said all that, without any further delay, I'd like to call your attention to some passages that the Lord laid on my heart to discuss on this first Sunday. This is Sunday one, as you can see. So we have a message kind of along those same lines. And we're going to hear that in just a minute. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask the deacons to conduct the reading from the Old and New Testament passages, which we have some handouts. If you did not get one, there may be some available yet. I have a couple, one, at least one here, if anyone needs it. But we'll ask you to give attention to the reading of the word at this time. Amen.
Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee.
Amen, amen. That is Isaiah 61 through 5. Now for the New Testament scripture reading.
And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Amen. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And we want to use for a subject, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Sunday, one day.
Sunday,
amen.
One day.
Sunday, one day. Amen. We could say every day will be Sunday, one day. Amen. It'll be the Lord's day. Amen. As we have celebrated today throughout all these times, I always mention which Sunday it is. I'm hearing people saying, I might be wrong with this number, but they say, oh, we're coming up to Super Bowl 49 or 140. I don't know where it is. It's somewhere in there, but it's like, okay, wow, we keep track of that. You know, 50. Okay, it's 50 now. When it's 49 last year. Okay, see, I knew somebody would know. One of those kind of things. And that's all good. That's all fine. But I like to keep track of the Sunday.
Yes.
This is Sunday one today. Amen. So it's a special day. And we're blessed that you are here with us.
Yes.
We thank God that you are in the presence of his people. and in the presence of his word, in the presence of his spirit.
Yes.
Now, we know that the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So with that being the case, we ought to want to hear God's word.
Amen.
Because what
Amen.
That will do, it has an operative thing that it does to us. It gives us faith.
Yes,
and faith, we talked about on Sunday 52 of 2015, is what we need in order to please God. First of all, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible, to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is.
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now the diligent seeker is the one who always has an ear open to hear what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
And so that's why these meetings are very important. And we hope that you put them on the top of your list this year. We're happy you started your year this way.
Yes.
And think about how God can advance you as you continue to hear his word. And we make sure that the word has a lot of content. That's one thing that I have promised God that I will do as he called me, because I know where he bought me from. I realize he didn't have to do it, but he wanted to do it. He wanted to save and redeem me. Now, most of you may not know me, but there's some folk here who know what way I used to roll, as y'all like to say, the way I used to roll back in the days. And it was not pretty, let me tell you. And so some of you may know that God is a gracious God.
Amen. Oh, yes, he is.
And I might not have to put my dirty laundry out. You probably know about your own. Some of you. I'm not going to say everybody, because somebody probably might not have been through all that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody could have been bought up in a Christian home, and you didn't get exposed to a bunch of that kind of stuff. And if you did, great. That's wonderful. But the fact is, no matter where you came from, God wants to bring you closer to
Amen.
Himself.
Amen. Yes, he does.
And, you know, he uses rejects in many cases. People like Moses, we talked about that on a previous lesson. Moses was a murderer. Even though he was in the family of the covenant people, he actually murdered someone. Mm-hmm. We have on record that he murdered an Egyptian.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a fugitive, ran from justice into the land of Midian, stayed there for 40 years to evade the judgment that would have been inevitable had he have stayed in Egypt. And then God sent him back, this 80-year-old, we could call him an octogenarian, if you will. You know, the fact he was 80 years old, and your age, that means age doesn't mean anything. If you're not making difference to God, if you're older, he can still use you. He liked to use young people too. He used little David, the youngest of Jesse's sons.
Yes, he did.
But he also used Moses, an 80-year-old man, to write the book of the law. And so we see such variation. Abraham was 75 when he was called. And God used him over a period of time to produce the people that we call Israel, the sons of Jacob, if you will. We talked about him a little this morning. But I want you to see something significant here, since this is Sunday number one. And that is that you've gotten off onto a good foot.
Yes.
And where we're heading is to a time when when every day will be Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just one day. There won't be any more than one day.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that with God, one day is like 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,000 years is one day. Isaiah wrote in his prophecy, he's speaking to the Israelites some 700 years before Christ was born. He says, "Arise, shine, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Speaking of the time of Messiah coming and paying the debt for man's sin, which he had discussed in pretty much detail in chapter 53 in the same book. Talked about the suffering servant who would come and offer his life as a ransom for the sins of many, and that by his sacrifice he would justify many. In other words,
yes.
Make you right before God. Now he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth,
yes.
And gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee." I think that describes the scene at Calvary when Jesus Christ was on the cross from the sixth to the ninth hour. The Bible says darkness was upon the face of the whole earth at that
yes.
time.
Yes.
at the sixth to the ninth hour, where it should have been daytime in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And it was dark on the other side of the world, obviously. If it's daytime on one side, it's dark on the other side. That's the way it is. But at this time, darkness covered the entire earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, of all things, it says here in Isaiah. This is when Gentiles were thought of as outcasts from the covenant, because they were not the covenant people. He says, and the Gentiles shall come. And just to define for you, in case you're not aware, anyone who is not a Jew is a Gentile.
Right.
If you weren't born in the families of the seed of Abraham, then you are a Gentile. That means other people other than the covenant people, the chosen people.
Amen.
So it says here, in the Gentiles, they were called sometimes by the Jews, Gentile dogs. Because
yep.
They thought of us as people who were not worthy to have fellowship and relationship with God. God has divided the world as of today into three types of people. That's the Jew, the Gentile, and the Church of God. The Church of God is believing Jews or Gentiles, whoever they are, no matter who you are, Jew or Gentile. If you trust in Christ, you are a part of the Church of God. And so otherwise, you can remain a Jew and be lost, or you can remain a Gentile and be lost. But if you're saved, you are a part of the Church of God. Amen. All who are saved are in the Church of God. The Church of God is something you have to be born into. Jesus said, in order to be saved, you must be born again. And so basically, that is a transition from not believing Christ to believing Christ.
Yes.
When you trust Christ for your salvation, that means you have been born again, because God is the one who gives you the ability to trust Christ. You believe in Christ is by faith.
Yes.
The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yes.
The church has been commissioned to go into all the world and teach all the nations. And so what do we teach? We teach the gospel, the good news.
Amen.
That God loves everybody, Jew or Gentile, no matter who they are. And if you believe in his son whom he sent into the world, right now, as this the calendar tells us, it's been 2,016 years since the birth of Messiah, his first coming. And so as many as receive him, the Bible says, to them he gives the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. And so basically salvation is a free gift given to whoever trusts in the name of Jesus Christ. In other words, God gives you faith by the message that's preached to trust that he has done everything necessary for you to be saved.
Amen.
And he wants you to be saved.
Yes, he does.
And saved means that we won't be cast into the lake of fire, as it said during the passage in Revelation, which is the second death.
Yes.
But let's get back to our text here in the book of Isaiah. Here, moving on, he says in chapter 60, verse number 4, lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Now what this is a prophecy of when there will be more believing Gentiles in the world than there were Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought George Lucas came up with "May the Force be with you." Here it says the forces of the Gentiles will come to thee. So basically Gentiles now are more believers than the Jews.
Man.
Because since 2,000 years or so, since the first coming of Christ, Israel as a nation has rejected Jesus Christ by and large.
Yep.
There are some Jews who believe, but the majority of their country does not believe. And God is keeping them until the last days, and he will restore faith to Israel. And so we're looking at that. We're seeing that in the news and everywhere else as we await the second coming of Christ. So starting off Sunday 1, I wanted you to understand that we are in that period when the forces of the Gentiles are coming in. And that means that the gospel and the church has been effective for 2,000 years, and the word is being spread. Jesus told his 12 to go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes.
Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And he said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So as we enter into 2016 AD, the year of our Lord, let us contemplate the future presented in God's holy word, which is defined as one final day in which God has done away with the threat of sin,
yes,
as well as the perpetrators of it once and for all, realizing that there is only a single day necessary which will govern by the light of Christ and God, and therefore there will be no more need for the sun and the moon.
All right.
That day is coming. One day, yes. Sunday, yes, will be there all the time. So one day it will be Sunday all day long. And that'll be the time when those who have trusted Christ dwell in his glory. His glory will be brighter than the sun and the moon. It'll be one day. There will be no more death. And we will read about that in Revelation. But in 2016, this is the part I want to express to you today. Let us learn and maintain the perception that we must choose to fight the good fight of faith.
Amen.
Now, this was a flaw that sometimes Timothy fell into, and Paul told him as a young ascribing Christian that he should fight the good fight of faith. You know what? You can have faith and know what's right and don't do it and be intimidated by the world. Or you can be in bondage by your own flesh. Or you can be attacked by the devil. And it will get you stuck into patterns in life that you don't want to do, that you know they're wrong. Mm-hmm. But if you fight the good fight of faith,
yes,
this means that when you hear what is right, that you begin to pray about it. That's number one. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't use carnal weapons.
All right.
We don't go around trying to fight our way out of anything with weapons that hurt people. But prayer is a powerful thing.
Yes.
You know what? And this is a personal testimony. I had some stuff in my life, and I still do, and I constantly pray about the stuff that the Word of God reveals to me is not right.
Yes.
In my way of thinking or in my actions. And so prayer is a powerful thing.
Yes, it is.
What I found out is that if you're fighting the fight of the good fight of faith, that means you acknowledge the things in your life that are not right.
Yes.
You take them to the altar.
Amen.
You turn them over to God.
Yeah.
And you ask God to give you the strength and the power to do what you know you have not been doing.
Yes.
That's why it says if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that's a relationship. That's why when you trust Christ, you enter into a relationship with the Almighty God. He takes you just like you are, no matter where you are. You can be strung out on dope. You can be an alcoholic.
Yes.
You could be a prostitute like Rahab.
Yep.
You could be a homosexual.
Yes.
You could have any kind of a thing that you know is wrong in your life. But when you come to God and he gives you faith to trust his son, he covers you from all those things.
Yes.
And he lets you know, I accept you. Yes. We don't turn anybody away. I don't care what you're dealing with.
Amen.
We love you.
Yes, we do.
Many of us went through the same things you might be going through right now.
Yes.
And we're here to help
Lord.
You. We know that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 and 18. Tell us that God is love. He knows that we have struggles and we can't get free from things on our own. You know what? But when we trust him, carry your dirty laundry to God. That's what we did right here when we came to this table. That's why I love the Lord's table. I come here, I can get clean. I can ask God to forgive me. You know what? I have brought things to the altar and then have had to bring it again. But you just keep bringing it until you get rid of it. And then I can look back and I can see stuff. God has cleaned up all kinds of nonsense in my life. See, he's cleaned it up. And I still have stuff. He shows me some other stuff. The light of the truth gets in your mind. And then you can analyze yourself properly. And at that point, you have fellowship with God. This is what eternal life is. Jesus said in John 17:3, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So we have that relationship. We can go talk to Christ. Talk to God. He hears you because of Christ. He's not hearing me because of Fisher. Fisher is not good enough to stand before God without Christ. But when Jesus is my Savior, he gives me access to God. And I can come in boldly, the Bible says, before the throne of grace. And I can ask God to forgive me. You know what? He's instantly going to forgive you.
Yes, he will.
He's not holding back a thing. That's why it says in James, if any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all and upbraideth not, the old King James says. That means I don't find any fault with you. You might be thinking, oh, you know, God don't want to hear from me. But you know what? It's just the opposite. Because of Christ, he does want to hear from you.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't even see what you're talking about. But he's going to give you wisdom to deal with it.
Yes, he will.
He'll give you grace to deal with it. He'll give you favor to deal with it. See? And you have access to God. You can go in and say, Lord, I need you right here. And he, if you come back 10 times, he still loves you. See? And what people do, we get exasperated, then we want to go away. And the devil tells you, oh, God's not hearing you. He don't want to have nothing to do with you. The flesh thing condemns you. It makes you feel guilty. But God is always saying, come to me, my son, my daughter. I gave my son for you. He was crucified for you. He shed his blood for you for all your sin. So you come to me. And I'm going to give you rest. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Doesn't he say that? Matthew 11:28. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not pushing you away. I'm saying, come. Come to me. I want to work with you. And I want you to do it. Now, this is why you say, well, God, why don't you just take it out of my life instantly? He can do that. You know what? But sometimes, and I'm sure this is true, because I didn't get instantly clean. How many in here got totally instantly clean when you got saved? Raise your hand. See, you don't see any hands, do you? Because we didn't get instantly clean. We still got issues now. And but you know what? I'm better than I was when I got started. I'm way better than I was. I got a whole lot of stuff I don't deal with anymore. And you know what? God wants to give you the grace to stop it on your own.
Yes.
It's not that he's not helping you. He is.
Yes.
But he wants you to give it up because you know it's wrong.
That's right.
And then you'll give him the credit because you know you couldn't do it.
Yes.
There's stuff I struggle with. I couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't get rid of it. Couldn't stop. But you know what? I kept on confessing it. I kept on asking God, cleanse me, Lord. I know this is wrong. Eventually, I had enough strength in my own mind because he gave me faith to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. And I was able to walk away clean. You know? And sometimes I have to go back. Lord, I'm being tempted about that thing again. And he'll strengthen you again.
Yes, he will.
You know, because I remember, there's a lot of things. I'm not going to bore you with all the details here. But I think you can find a witness somewhere on your row who knows that that's the way God works. And he accepts you entirely, no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with. So no matter, this is what I want you to do this year. In 2016, let us learn to maintain the perception, in other words, how we see things, that we must choose to fight the good fight of faith. Now that starts with prayer. You know, it doesn't end there. It starts with prayer. And sometimes I need to have somebody hold me accountable.
That's right. Amen.
If I'm weak, then I'm going to lean on my brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because they're going through the same thing.
Amen.
You know, ex-smokers can help people who smoke.
Amen. That's right.
Ex-dope addicts can help folks on drugs.
Yes.
Ex-homosexuals can help people struggling with homosexual sin.
Yes.
Ex-prostitutes know how to help people get their life clean and walk straight and do the right thing.
Yes.
People, and that's what we got here. We got a whole room full of ex, this, that, and the other. You know. You see what I'm saying? So we can help you. We know what to do. We've been there. You can lean on us. We're not going to judge you. I did the same thing, son. Let me help you. You know, I know how to help you get out of it. And I'm going to pray with you. And I'm going to call you and say, how are you doing with that? I'm going to check in with you to make sure that we're on target. And so we're going to have relationship with God, and we're going to pray and help one another to get clean. And so this is what the good fight of faith is. We want to, this is a way in which the joining with Jesus Christ, having him involved with us in each and every spiritual choice. You want Christ involved in every spiritual choice you have to make, regardless of the lightness or the severity. If I want to know what school to go to, or that's a light one. Okay, compared to how do I get off of dope? That's a tough one. See, how do I stop drinking? How do I stop smoking? How do I stop some of these habitual things that you say are not good for me?
Yes.
We know they're not. You know what the Surgeon General tells you right there? Oh, this can cause cancer and birth defects. And even the medicines and things that we take. So some stuff's tough, some stuff's light. But we want God in all of it.
Yes, we do.
See?
Yes, we do.
Don't, because the devil will try to slip in on some of the light stuff sometimes and make you make a wrong turn. So no matter how severe it is in every decision, every struggle, every loss, every victory, or while we're under demonic attack, and any other thing that is dealt to us in this life, so that we may have the experience of the bliss of salvation to the ones whose minds are stayed on him.
Yes.
If you keep your mind stayed on the Lord, involve him in what you do.
Yeah.
You know, it'll be hard for you to do something wrong if you call Christ into the middle of it. It really will. That's what I found out. Instead of giving in to it, stop and pray. If you get weak, call somebody. See? And you'll get to the place, that's fighting the good fight. I'm not just going to fall into this thing. I'm going to stand up and take a stand and fight the good fight of faith. So say you're going to do that this year. Just make a deal with yourself. And then you'll be ready. That'll help you to make it through as you move along. Now, this is the next thing I want you to see here, that all the Gentiles now, we don't know how long it'll be, but they've been coming to Christ for thousands of years now. And there's going to come a time when it's done. God will be through.
Yes.
He'll be done with the Gentiles. We don't know when. Doesn't mean you can't be saved, but it means God is going to step up the ante a little bit next. Where is it heading? It's heading right here, Revelation 21. John, looking in the spirit, he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, sometimes the term sea, it applies to the masses of humanity in many cases. It could be an actual literal sea. What was interesting to me is that in that verse, in verse 1, it says there's no more sea. You get down to the bottom, notice this in 21:8. It says that there is a lake of fire, which is the second death. The bottom line on your front sheet there. So there's no sea, but there's a lake.
There's a lake.
Interesting thing. You know, God probably only needs a lake to deal with the problem. You see what I mean? But notice what it says. There's a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, and I, John, he's amazed that God is showing me, John. Little old John, the fisherman. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know how we fix up the bride and make her beautiful. And all eyes are on the bride when she comes through the door. Wow, boy, that's amazing. And everybody's looking at her like, wow, you know. We play the song and we have that pomp and circumstance going on. And she parades in her beautiful outfit. That's going to be how the new city, John said, I saw her coming down as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away, this is the part I love right here, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, no more pain. Can you imagine that? For the former things are passed away. Death is passed away. Pain is passed away. Sickness, disease, passed away. Crying and heartache and heartbreak, all that's passed away. No more. Anymore. And he says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. Woo. Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Now God is saying, it is done. That's it. He finished what was necessary to make you right. Now God is saying, death, pain, sickness, disease, tears, wiped away forever. It's done. See that? And I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh, that's why you got to fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son. Now this is why you know people losing the good fight of faith are these in verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So death is going to be put to death. So you want to be fighting the good fight of faith. So in this new year, pray about how you might dedicate yourself to the same purposes that God has for his creation, being determined to be involved in as much indulgence in his word as possible, so that you can obtain as much spiritual power as you possibly can, and therefore have the most possible victory, so that when we reach that place where every day is Sunday, that we will have greater capacity to serve God until then, experience the most peace possible, even in the midst of a troubled world. Because Jesus truly is the Prince of Peace. So we hope that you will take him up on his offer. He wants you to have peace now. Peace like a river, he said, I extend to you.
Yes.
And you start that by knowing my account is right with God. God wants it to be right. You know how dedicated he is to the purpose of your account being right, because he gave his son. That's history. That's not fallacy or fantasy. 2016 is because Jesus Christ was born. The first Christmas, about 2016 years ago. And he came in order to give you freedom from worry and fear. He wants you to have it now. He doesn't want you to wait. You can have it today. Today is the day of salvation. And now is the acceptable time. So if you're here today and you are not saved, we want to invite you to come first and have a seat here on the front. We invite you to come right now. We offer Christ to you. That is the message of the church, that whosoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. That's the free gift of God.
Yes.
He wants you to have that and know you have it. 1 John 5:13 says, these things write I unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He wants you to know it. You know, and it's not because I'm anything myself. It's because I trust him. That God gave him and centered him in the world so that I could trust him and believe him and know that I'm forgiven. I don't know I'm forgiven because of me. I know I'm forgiven because of him. That's why it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means anybody, no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants you to have that everlasting life, is that relationship with God, so that you can know that you're free from sin. And that I have an account with God, so no matter what I'm dealing with, I can talk it over with him. And I have brothers and sisters who are just like me in the church, called out of the masses of humanity to trust in his name. So if you're here today and you don't have that certainty, we want to ask you to come first. And we also offer this time for those who want to bring your membership. Maybe you are saved and you'd like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church. We give you that opportunity also. Because we're here, we're rolling up our sleeves for 2016. We got stuff to do. And we're taking God serious at his word. And I believe if he did what he did all this time, that he can do even more. Amen. Amen. Come right up and have a seat. Amen. Amen. Come on up. Be bold in the Lord. Amen. Come on right now. We need help. We don't mind saying it. And we're here to execute what God has said in his word. We want to fulfill what God has said in his word. And we, as many as are here, we want to invite you to come. We're going to pray on it right now. Eternal God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you today, Father, for letting us be here on Sunday 1 in 2016. And Father, we pray that you let your spirit direct your people right now, God, that they might come at this time and unite with your church, that they might know they're saved in the depths of their soul. Father, we come against any forces of darkness that may come against them or try to hold them back right now, God. We pray you give them boldness, oh God, to accept your word, Father. Not that we are anything, but your son Jesus is the very best. And so because of him, oh God, we ask you to give them the grace and the favor to come at this time, Lord. Father, we were sitting one day in the pew, and somehow your spirit got a hold of us. And you called us, and we came running asking, what must we do to be saved? How can we be a part of this? And so we pray you give them that grace right now, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We thank you for the children here today, God. Tender hearts that come believing. And we ask you to bless them today, God, whoever they are. We just praise you, Father. Your spirit is so good to us, Lord. You bless us, oh God, and we know we don't deserve it. But we just thank you today, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, we know that there are situations and sometimes in our lives and we always want to check things and all that, but sometimes, God, we just need to respond to our heart. Do what your heart says. The Lord says it's right that you would come today. Start off your year in the church so that you can continue to walk by faith. We bless you today, God. We give you praise, Lord. We thank you for who you're sending right now. And Father, we know that you can work that work in their life to give them that assurance and certainty, oh God, about this relationship. It's the best relationship we have, Father. It's with you. Thank you for Jesus today, oh God. And we praise you, Father. We give you the praise and just thank you for your grace. Oh God, we just bless you and we give you the praise. And we ask all this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. If there's somebody quietly accepting you even in their heart right now, yes. God, we ask you, go ahead and bless them. Sometimes they're fearful, oh God. But we ask whatever they need, Father, that you would grant it. We ask it in the name of Jesus. It's in his righteousness that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God. And we're going to hear from Sister V at this time.
There have been times in my life, and I'd be so confused, I didn't know what to do. My brain was like scrambled eggs. I'm 53 years old. I've had 71 jobs. I found out when I was 48, I had ADHD. Mm-hmm. The medication was $30 for 30 tablets.
Mm-hmm.
It was up to $289 for 30 tablets. I couldn't afford it. I just restarted by taking the medication. And I came to God. I said, God, this is what I have to take every day to get me through the day. This is what I got to do. I have a 2-year-old son, my first child. I had a 33-year-old fiance. My heart goes out to her for putting up with me. I was very hyper, agitated, irritated, couldn't sleep. I could stay up 4 days in a row and not be tired. And I'm so glad that, thank God for Adderall, XR. And I'm here today telling you, you have no idea how disappointing it is to want something and do the best that you can, and you're walking in a circle and you never get out. The thought process is a full circle. When you have ADHD, your circle has slashes in it. So you're all over the page. You're working this job. You're washing cars. You're doing construction work. You're going to school. But you've never been able to complete anything. And I'm so glad And now, to God and Adderall, I will give to the people, right?
All right.
Amen. 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 We thank God for you, brother.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Amen.
I'm just overjoyed.
Yeah, that's all right. That's all right.
2 years ago, but in 2010, I got chemically burned so bad because I took a construction job. It was a non-union job. And I was doing construction. And the chemicals got in my body so fast it melted my pants to my legs and I didn't know it. And I went to the doctor that said I was a diabetic type 2. They said lose weight and lose limbs. I was about 263. Wow. Every day I walked, once I got able to walk, I walked from South Kings Highway down by Grabois to Wellston.
Wow.
Go there to my cousin's house, eat, relax, walk back, or take the bus back, and walk back again. I was determined to lose weight.
Yeah.
I was in the military for almost 12 years. I knew how to be disciplined. I knew how to be a soldier. Then my cousin gave me a bike, and I would ride my bike.
All right.
I had lost so much weight so fast, my family members thought I was smoking crack.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't smoking crack.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I didn't lose my limbs,
yeah.
lose my fingers and sensations in my toes.
Yeah.
Because I had a child in the way. People would laugh at me and say I was crazy.
Yeah.
But I kept my head like a football player, and I just kept. Because I knew behind me was God.
Amen.
And I was running, and I was running, and I did not give up. And that's why I'm here today. And out in the streets, I started selling weed. I got shot, I got stabbed. I have fell asleep 14 times in total of 14 vehicles. And I'm here to tell you about it. And the 15th time, I broke up with my girlfriend, a Spanish girlfriend, and she snatched the wheel on the highway, hit the gas, and I rolled a full-size Bronco 4 times on the highway, and I'm still here.
Amen.
God has something for me
Amen.
To do.
Amen.
I'm not sure of what it is, but I'm sure through this church, and the way I felt my first night here, that I will get through this church.
Amen.
And I remember this guy. When I was on one of my jobs, I used to work at the airport at TWA American Airlines. I used to park the planes and drive them out. And I remember his face. I didn't know where I remembered him from, but when he said at the airport, I said, I know this dude. He was our master electrician. This is the white people have MacGyver. He's Black MacGyver. He can take a toothpick, a thick piece of foil, and a piece of string and make it happen.
Amen. We thank God for my brother. Hallelujah. Ooh. Amen. Amen. We receive you, my brother, with all rights and privileges. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All rights and privileges. Amen.